Let's go to the Word of God this morning, if we could. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. The Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. And it begins and it says, "Do you not know that in a race all of the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises temperance or self-control in all things. And they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we for an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one that just swinging at the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself become disqualified. For I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples to us, that we might not desire evil as they did, nor be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, they sat down to eat, they rose to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some did. And 20,000 fell in a single day. And we must not put Christ to the test, as some did, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble, as some did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. But they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the age has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And know that there's no temptation that has overtaken you but that which is common to man. God is faithful." How many of you believe that? God is faithful. "And he will not allow you to be tempted above your ability, but with every temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it." Father, we thank you this morning for the grace that falls on us, Lord God. We pray that you would change our heart, change our perspective, Lord God. And in doing so, Lord, change the trajectory of our life. Lord, we thank you that you're going to have the perfect work in us this morning by the Spirit of God. And we're all going to leave a little bit more challenged and a little bit more change. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul begins to discuss at the very beginning how he doesn't run as one that's running without the promise of a prize at the end of it. And he begins to talk about being a boxer, and he says, "I'm not just swinging at the air." And he goes on to say this. He says, "If a natural athlete will do this for a perishable crown, how much more should we keep our bodies in subjection that we can serve God effectively?" And then he begins to talk about the nation of Israel and how Israel was taken out of Egypt. They were completely delivered by the power of God. No excuse. They were baptized under the cloud. They saw the miracle of the cloud. They were baptized in the Red Sea. They saw the miracle of the power of God in the Red Sea. And I want to go on to say this as well. The gospel of the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is not in word. It is in power. The gospel is in power. So say they were baptized in basically having an example of the power of God bringing them deliverance. But the reality was, they were out of Egypt. Egypt was not out of them. And though they were delivered, they were never free. They were completely delivered. But somehow they could never bring their body, their flesh, their mind, will, emotions, and personality into subjection of God. Now realize this, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. And we would say, and a lot of people say, I would love to see church like the Corinthian church. They were having signs, wonders, miracles. All these crazy, wonderful things were happening. And I love the power of God. Right? See Jesus walk on water, that really happened. Walk through walls, that really happened. See people baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of tongues. See diverse miracles happen and coins out of fish's mouth, right? Miraculous healings, creative miracles. I love all of that. But the Bible says we can receive and experience all of the powerful things of God and still be inferior because if we cannot control ourselves, the Bible says even though we do spiritual gifts, we're still carnal. And this word temperance is strange. It says to be temperate in all things. In fact, you know, that is a fruit of the Spirit. And if you got the Spirit of God inside of you this morning, understand this, that nature is working in your life right now. That means every single one of us have the power to control ourselves. It never ceases to amaze me. People that cannot control themselves always think they control somebody else. Right? And so I've got this nature working inside of me. And the word temperance actually means this. It means to mix together in proper proportions. Like when you mix paint, you take the different pigments and you mix it together. And if you don't mix it right, how many know the paint will not be matchable? Right? I like to watch Forged in Fire. Any of you guys and ladies like to watch that? Tamer does. And so they take metal and they put it in the forge and they begin to, on a molecular level, they begin to, with heat and cold, begin to bring that metal until it gets temper. And temper makes it unbreakable. And so when you get temperance inside of your life, what happens is you become unbreakable. Right? You're not controlled by the external environment because you've learned, as the Apostle Paul said, how to control yourself. The word temperance in the Greek is en krotos, which means in power. Temperance is en krotos. It means I am in power. How many like to walk around this world knowing that you have power? I'm not just talking about wind and seas and waves and miracles. I'm talking about authority. The highest level of authority, get this inside of you, the highest level of authority I can exercise in my life is not in miracles. It is in being able to control myself. Because I found other than the devil, I am the biggest problem in my life. I have the power to make decisions. I have the power to serve the flesh, or I have the power to serve the Spirit. And when I first got saved, I used to think that every voice in my head was me. That's just how I am. That's just how I think. I'm a German, Irish, redhead. Of course, I got a temper, right? I'm not as smart as some people, so I'm going to cast myself to this economic level. And so every voice in my head before I got born again was me. I had no distinction. But then when I got born again, I found out that I was having a three-way conversation all the time. Not because I was schizophrenic either, because there were three specific voices. Listen, how many of you know there's a Father, there's a Son, and there's a Holy Ghost? But how many of you know that you are a triune being as well? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And I found out that my spirit was speaking to my soul sometimes, and I found out that my flesh was speaking to my soul sometimes, and I was torn between two levers. I was torn between two voices. I was torn between two opinions. And so what would happen is all of a sudden, your flesh will always seek pleasure. I mean, bring me to Golden Corral. Listen, I do not need one more piece of steak, but give me one, just one more piece of steak, right? Your flesh will always seek pleasure. Your soul will always seek agreement. Your spirit will always seek God. The Bible says whoever is in Christ is one spirit with him. So I found that there were two voices speaking to me all the time. So what did I need to do? I needed to temper that thing. How many know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So just because you have appetites and desires doesn't mean it's the flesh. It's when you're driven by those external things that it becomes the flesh. When it becomes selfish and just self-gratifying, what happens is then you cannot control. I know people that cannot control their tongue. How about that? Cannot control their temper. Come on now, Holy Ghost. Cannot control their finances. Cannot manage their relationships effectively. The highest level of authority is not the Republicans. The highest level of government is not the Democrats, the Libertarians, the Socialists. The highest level of government is something called self-government. Whenever I can govern myself, That's when I can do something called walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. That's when external things happening to me do not always drive and control my behavior. And so what happened is I get born again and I start hearing these three voices. And I'm stuck in the middle, usually saying, you know, one is pulling me one direction, another is pulling me the other direction. And I found that when before I was born again, I did not know, I said before, who was speaking to me. But when I got born again, I became a new creature with an old mind. And so all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to talk to me. And I began to, for the first time, have the power to make a decision, not just on external decisions, but on internal attitudes that I had within my life. And so temperance was all of a sudden beginning to mold together, to mix together, like leaven that you put in a lump of dough and you knead it until everything is leaven. God began to take His Spirit and He began to mix it with His soul, and then He began to mix it with my body and mold it together. And I found that there were certain things that I used to have to struggle to quit that quit me. Certain attitudes. I remember I felt like the Lord was telling me, Dan, you're going to go through a hard time of testing. I mean, you don't look forward to that. And it wasn't like a prophetic word or anything. I mean, maybe somebody had said it to me. But I felt like I needed to prepare for something. I didn't know what. Everything was going good. Church was blowing up in a good way. We were having a great time. People were getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, go on a fast. Now, a fast to me at that time meant only water, right? And so I really prayed how long, and the Lord said 15 days. Now, I was already pretty skinny, so I was convinced I was going to look like death sucking on a Tic Tac in 15 days, right? But I decided, okay, I'm going to push the plate back. Now, I fasted a couple days every once in a while before this. I pushed that plate back. And usually I would push the plate back and fast just, you know, for somebody that had a need or something that I was struggling with. This time I had no clue of what I was fasting for. But I pushed the plate back for 15 days, didn't eat anything. And it's amazing. I'm going to tell you what. It is amazing how when you push the plate back and you know there's a 15-day timeline, how much you don't realize you think about chicken McNuggets. Right? I mean, I thought, you really never know how much you think about food and preparation in your day and all that. And so when I pushed the plate back, all of a sudden, a voice started speaking to me. It's called my flesh. And it was saying, like day two, it was saying, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're not going to make it. I mean, no, that was a voice. And then there was another voice that spoke to me out of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God told me, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so I said, listen, if I've got to go 15 days so that I can get a word in my next season, then I'm going to do it. And if God's called me to do it, He's going to give me the grace to do it. And I'm not going to struggle every day. And I can honestly tell you, that 15-day fast was easier than some 4-day fast I'd been on before. I felt the grace of God in my life. Now listen, my flesh said, you're going to die. The Spirit of God said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And here's what my soul said. I could come into agreement, right? My soul said this, 1 out of 6 people on the planet right now are starving without choice. 1 out of 6 people on the earth right now are not eating because they're fasting. They're not eating because they don't have any money. And they don't have any food. And so I said this, you know, reality check. One was agreeing with the Spirit of God. The other was agreeing with an environment that needed to be changed in the world. So what happened was, is I went on that fast. I had supernatural grace for it. But you know what? My spirit came in agreement with my soul. And I had the power to tell my body to shut up every day so that I could enter into my new season. Do you realize Jesus had to do that before He entered it? I'm not preaching on fasting. I'm just saying this is one area in which your flesh will be very evident in getting. And so Jesus, after a 40-day fast, it said He returned in the power of the Spirit. You know why? Because He knew how to be governed, not by His emotions or not by things happening externally, but by the Spirit of God, the voice of God. You know, God's got some stuff to say to us this morning. The Bible says, eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But it says, but the Spirit of God has revealed it to us, the deep things of God and secret mysteries. And so during that time of fasting, you know what I found? I got hyper in tuned in a way I'd never been to the voice of God. And as I began to get hyper in tune to what God was saying to me on a daily basis, I felt a strength rise up in me to tell my flesh no. The power of God to actually not have my body and situations control me. I would say this, you know why a tire goes flat? Because the pressure on the outside is greater than the pressure on the inside. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I just said something a little bit ago. You don't have to freak out. You can faith out. You can develop the nature where nothing controls you, not even God, right? God doesn't control you. But to where you can yield yourself to the voice of God, that thing called temperance, where, I mean, the word self-control seems, you know, just kind of like a typical term. But power over yourself, that's another, that is huge. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, a man or a woman that cannot control their own spirit or their own soul is like a city with its walls torn down. And so for me, I realize that I have so much power over myself because of the grace of God. You look at Jesus. How many of you know Jesus could have won every argument with the Pharisees and made them look really dumb? He could have won every argument, but you know what? He had the power to keep his mouth shut when he knew it wouldn't change anything. I think about him saying, Lord, take this cup from me. Listen, his back was about to quiver with whips. His head was about to be crowned with a crown of thorns. His beard was about to be plucked out. And he had so much temperance that the God that created the world could obey the voice of the Spirit and thank God for it for the salvation of us all. He didn't need to win every argument. He could keep his temper. When you lose your temper, you become breakable. When you lose your temper, you become fragile. I'm going to say this, when you lose your temper, you become carnal. And God can't use you the way that he needs to. For my life and for my soul, I want to continue to make sure that the temperance of God, that the spirit, the soul, and the body, that God continues to make me and mold me and fill me and use me. It's the same way with pottery. If the clay is not tempered right, when you put it in the fire, it's going to blow apart. How many of you know every single one of you are going to go through a fire? And the fruit of God's nature, the fruit of temperance, in fact, Galatians, the 5th chapter says this, add to your faith virtue, moral excellence. Add to your virtue knowledge. Change your mind. Begin to agree with the voice of the Spirit. And it said, add to your knowledge virtue. It's a grace in your life. You realize this, that nothing, maybe before you got born again, you were out of control. Maybe you were an addict. Maybe you stole. I had friends that they couldn't walk through a dollar store without trying to cop something. It was just in them. You see, people get born again and all of a sudden, you're a brand new creature with an old way of thinking. And all of a sudden, God gives you the spirit of power to govern your own life, to say no. Listen, being able to govern your own life or have the spirit of temperance or the power of God to govern yourself, listen, it not only gives you the ability to say no to things that are bad, it gives you the wisdom to say no to things that are good, right? The wisdom to say no to things that are good because you got the Spirit of God working in you, giving you tomorrow's news today. I went on that 15-day fast, and when I came off of it, I felt nothing, I knew nothing, any more than I did before. But about a month later, there was an assault on the church. There was an assault on me, on my character, just crazy stuff. And let me tell you what, if if I had not been able to go through that purging, to develop that spirit of temperance, I'm going to tell you, I would have broke. I would have quit. The fire that God put this, or the fire that the enemy was coming against me with, whenever this clay pot would have went into that kiln, because temperance had not been worked in my life, I would have blown apart. My cutting edge that was forged by the nature of God would have snapped. I see these guys on that show, Forged in Fire. They make these amazing looking knives. They're beautiful. And then all of a sudden they'll hit something and they'll just snap right in two. It's because they didn't take time to temper. And so I feel like my number one job, A, is not to fix anybody. How many know that should make you feel a lot more liberated today? Just look at your neighbor and say, it's not my job to fix you. It's not my job to fix you. Listen, it's not my job to fix you, and I can't change you, right? But you can choose to change. God can give you his nature, and then he can fix you. I love this scripture. In Psalms 32, it says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed, bit, and bridle, or they won't come near you. Don't be the person that always has to be controlled by external things to do the right thing. Be a person who, with that self-control, with that power of temperance, the authority over myself. See, this is so amazing. That means, with that being said, I have so much power. Dear Lord, I have so much power that I have the power to be happy and choose it. I have the power to be happy. Me and Melanie were going through something one morning before church, and we both were praying for somebody, and we were both crying, and felt like their whole marriage was on, you know, the blade of a knife, and me and Melanie hugged, and we looked at each other, and we said, this could be the worst church service we've ever had because of how we feel. Or this could be the best church service we've ever had because he's good. And so here's what we say, you know what? Our emotions are not going to, because sometimes the emotions are flesh, or the devil attaches onto your emotions and begins to paint a picture around your emotions that it's not going to work out. I'll never forget, I was about to go into the penitentiary one night, and a few of the guys got in an argument. Seven of us were about to go into the penitentiary. A couple of the guys got an argument about doctrine, and they all left at McDonald's and Sullivan before. And I'm like, well, I'm by myself. I guess I'm the preacher tonight. I went down there that night, and I said, listen, God's worthy even if they're mad. And so I went down there, and would you know that, like, everybody got born again in that service that night? And I'm like, I'm so thankful. David would do things like this. David would say this. He would say, you know, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust in God. His spirit man was speaking to his soul man, and his soul man was then going to put his body in check and say, straighten up. So we went to church, and sure enough, it was an outbreak of joy and the Holy Ghost. I had the power over my emotions. I love real estate, and in real estate, I usually don't let people live rent-free. Just saying. And by golly, I promise you this. I'm not going to let the devil's emotions and voice live rent-free in my head either. I have power. I'm so powerful. Listen, the enemy wants to make you feel pitiful. But God wants to know you, let you know that you are more than a conqueror. That you are victorious this morning. And I don't care what any politician tells you. Your prosperity, your destiny, your peace, your freedom, your joy, it's not based on any political party. It is based on your relationship with the Lord and listening to the Spirit of God. I have power. I have power over my emotions. That's powerful. I mean, by the Spirit of God, I can... The Bible says, with joy will I draw water out of the wells of salvation. Every day I have the power. That's powerful. Every day I have the power to be happy. That means you can't write. If God gave it to me, you can't have it. You can't take it. I have the power to prosper. Means this. God can give you witty inventions, creative ideas. He can promote you in a minute. He has the ability to do that. So listen. So by the Spirit of God and temperance, I'm in control of my financial status. How many know people whose finances are controlling them all the time? Temperance. Here's the thing. There's a spirit called mammon. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon's a demon that attaches to lack, that externally tries to get you to overspend or underachieve or get you in a mindset. And I just determined this. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. So you know what? Even if GE moves out of my community tomorrow and I lose my job, they're not my source. God's my source. Through the Spirit of God, I have control over my finances. I have control. Listen, I can't control how my relationships treat me, but I have control over my relationships to the degree that I can be a good friend. I mean, say, some people say, I just can't find a good friend. Well, I say, be one. I just can't find a good friend. It seems like everybody stabs me in the back. There's something called the law of attraction. Whatever you are, you'll attract. Right? You know, there's not too many cattle that are attracted to baboons. Right? They're not going to marry. It's the law of attraction. Just cast that down. Get that out of your head. That's the only preaching I've ever got out of being in my life. Law of attraction. I have the power to be a good friend through the grace of God, the nature of God. And by being that, I will attract that into my life. I want to pray for us this morning. If you have a lack of self-control in an area, if you have a lack of self-control, you don't know who's speaking to you, you know, is it God, is it the devil, or is it me? You know, I want to ask you this. Are you born again? Do you have the Spirit of God? Because within the Spirit of God is the nature of temperance, which will mix the body, the soul, and the spirit together. Well, you will become unbreakable like tempered metal. You'll become consistent like beautiful paint. And you'll be a vessel that God can use like a pot that's been molded and made and filled and used and fired just right. I want us just to stay into our feet this morning if we could. Moses was rejected from... Now, Moses was a good dude. But Moses was rejected from going into the land because he lost his temper. God told him, speak real nice to the rock. The people made him mad. He hit the rock. Water flowed because God's merciful. Moses said, the people made me do it. And he became disqualified. The Apostle Paul said, if you'll learn the nature of temperance, the grace to be able to control yourself by the power of God, you'll win the race. You'll defeat the enemy. And that there will be an imperishable, eternal crown for you on the other side, and you'll make a big difference in other people's lives. So Lord, we just pray this morning. My emotions, my attitude, my tongue. The Bible says if you can control your own tongue, you're perfect. That's what it says in James. In James it says, the man that can control his tongue or the lady is perfect, because out of the mouth flow the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I have the power to speak only good things. I have the power to prosper according to what you have working in my life. I have the power over my emotions. And because of that, the Lord has power to work in my life and in my destiny. So Lord, right now we just yield ourselves to you. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. We thank you, Lord, that we will not be governed by external situations, attitudes, and emotions, but will be led by the Spirit and would be known as sons and daughters of God. If there's someone in here this morning and you say, I do not know Jesus Christ, but I want that grace in my life because too long external things have been controlling me. And I realize I don't have the power in myself to even change myself. If that's you, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning if you want to accept Jesus. Well, Father, we just yield to you this morning. And we say, work this nature in us, Lord. I had to repent in preparing for this morning because I found that, you know, you really start asking God questions. I've been fleshly in some areas. I just have. I said, Lord, I don't want to be that way. That's not who you are. I don't want that in my life. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for the power to be governed and guided by the Spirit of God. Make us, mold us, fill us, and use us for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.